Hello, everybody. It is great to be here one more time today. And my name is Gary Fowler. I'm the CEO, president, and founder of GSD, Get You Done Venture Studios, a premier AI and quantum venture studio located in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm a 17-time serial entrepreneur with several unicorns under the belt. I was on the original management team of Click Software, which was sold to Salesforce for $1.35 billion, also Eva.ai. We believe at GSD that intellectual capacity is evenly spread around the world, but opportunities are not. And today I have an incredible guest today, Martin Schneider, all the way from near Stockholm, Sweden. Today we're going to talk about supplier discovery that reduces risk, how startups scale in procurement. With that, I'd like to bring Martin on board. Hi, Martin. How are you today?
I'm perfectly fine. Nice weather in Stockholm, but it's starting to get more like winterish temperatures here in the northern parts of the world.
Are you originally from Stockholm, or because Schneider's not a Swedish last name?
That's a good question. So originally, my father was German, so I'm half Swedish, half German. But originally, I come from a very, very small town called Gnosjö in Småland in Sweden. But it has a lot of entrepreneurs. I guess the density of entrepreneurs is one of the biggest within the, at least if you look into the Swedish market.
So, you know, you've led a billion euro SEK business. Now you're running Find My Factory. What inspired you to take on the challenge of transforming procurement through technology?
So originally, I'm an insurer. So I worked for one of the biggest insurers in Sweden. And I mean, what you do with the insurance, you help people when they are in trouble, right? And I see it as the same thing with starting a business, to find ways where customers have problems that we can solve. And to be honest, I mean, to doing that within the insurance industry, it's more, the speed is not, it's not that fast, right? But as a scale-up or a startup, you can do a lot of things in a very, very short period of time. So that really inspired me. And I thank my best friend that he took me on this journey to start up Find My Factory.
So procurement and sourcing aren't always considered sexy topics, right? And they're mission critical, but yet they're mission critical. Yeah. So why do you think startups and enterprises alike should care more about the supplier discovery?
So I think we could start, to aggregate it a bit. I mean, today we have a lot of problem looking into, let's take a topic of geopolitics. I mean, for 20 years ago, globalization was more or less about finding a supplier where it's the cheapest, right? And nowadays, I mean, there's a lot of tension, especially, I mean, you can see it from the US, between the US and China. And also you can see, I mean, we have war in Ukraine and other parts of the world. So I think that the world has woken up. I don't think it's too late, but they've woken up to a different kind of supply chain. So they need to adapt and they need to understand how to adapt. They are still sitting in very, very old basic systems. And I mean, they're working basically in Excel spreadsheets. So having that said, you need to redefine how to source or to do a supplier discovery or whatever you would like to do within the supply chain. And that comes with, I mean, an even bigger task, to manage risk. Something I did before when I was as an insurer, then you only manage risk, right? But that is a very, very hot topic within the supply chain right now. So I think that answers the question, maybe.
You know, that's great. So, you know, you look at it, when companies look for new suppliers, what are the biggest risks they typically face? So when they're going into it, I mean, and they don't know what they don't know sometimes, right? Nope. So what is it?
So first of all, I mean, they are many of the ones who are buying are relying, I mean, like 80% comes from one supplier. And that in itself is a big risk. And then you can add another thing. Where are they located? How do they transport things? do they have the right terms and conditions for their staff? And on top of that, we are driving a more sustainable agenda. So, I mean, or put all of those things together, and then you have not a good soup, so to speak. So they are looking at different kinds of things as a risk perspective, but still, there are the most common one is where they're located, and do they have one of these suppliers only? That's the first risk, and then they need to understand, okay, what's happening around them. And then, of course, as you said, Gary, I mean, there are several things that could happen, and then you just need models to figure out what's the probability for those things to happen, basically.
You know, what's the difference between traditional supplier vetting and using an AI-driven autonomous approach? I mean, obviously, there, you know, people can imagine, but what are some of the stark differences? Speed, right? Yeah. The broadness of the search, because you're dealing with the infobesity problem, being mm-hmm. able to understand many, many different kinds of risks, right? And maybe being able to keep your margins within a certain level because you manage the risks a lot better.
Yeah. So starting off, I mean, if we start by looking at the margins, so if you, let's say that you're a procurement staff, you have a number of suppliers today. It's not that common that they challenge them a lot. They tend to say that they do, but to be honest, if you look into their books, they are not challenged them enough. But if you open a world where you can basically find all suppliers and benchmark them in a split of a second, and then on top of that, let's say that you have a tool like ours then, where you can vet out certain data points so that you can come from to a decision, not in weeks or in months, more or less in a couple of minutes. And then that is very, very powerful. And of course, then you can also find all kinds of shady stuff around the companies that you didn't even know, whether there was a lawsuit or there was some employee not treating you well or whatever it could be. So that is basically the future, I would say. And now, since this year is the year of AI agents, you can use agents to do that task, but to use them in a very structured way within the supply chain is extremely powerful, at least if you ask our customers.
You know, one of the things, Mark, just to step back for a second, we have a number of companies from the Nordics. We have companies from Norway, Sweden. We have companies from Denmark, Germany. But one of the things they tell us a lot is that the valuations are a lot less, especially in Germany. It takes a whole lot longer to get things through. We have some of the German family offices that help us, right? That are judges mm-hmm. for competitions. And they're slow, right? Sweden's a little bit different because it's a little bit more flexible and the people are more worldly, and just in my opinion, right? Because of the multiple language capabilities, et cetera. But how do you go down through and take a company from Sweden and take it global, right? Because the valuations aren't there. You know, they're like a third of what they are in Silicon Valley, right? Yeah. And when I talk to the Swedish companies that come over there, I hear it a lot. It's amazing, actually, because some of the brightest people in the world are there, but it's like having a Ferrari in the garage.
Yeah, but still, yeah. When you have a Ferrari in the garage and you know how to drive it, it's, I wouldn't say, the valuation is one part of it, of course. I don't steer our company in any of that direction. Of course, that's important for the steering. But to be very, very truthful, I mean, it's about customer expectations and deliver on what's promised. And if you can do that, you can always go out to a broader market. But the difficulties here are to get the American, investors to get their eyes on us. And this is one way to do it. And there are several other ways. But as long as you deliver on what's promised and create customer value, you will always get a better valuation, but of course, then also a better revenue stream. And then it's not that hard to grow, to be honest.
You know, I've been doing this for 40 years. I've done 17 companies and a couple of unicorns. And I've been through it many, many times. And I've lived in a whole lot of different places, including Russia. I lived in Moscow for 12
years. Really?
Yeah. And I started the ecosystem there, you know, the Startup Academy at Skolkovo, et cetera, left in 2014 when things started to get a little sideways, right, because of Ukraine, and came back over the U.S. And one of the things, every time I've gone back from U.K., from Germany, back over to the U.S., the one thing I see is that people get it, right, because they're building companies like yours, and they're from all over the world. They're from Africa. They're from Indonesia. They're from Malaysia. They're from Slovenia and Slovakia. They're from places like Estonia, right? And it's interesting because I see it every time. And every time that I think that things are going to be dispersed globally, what happens is I come, like this week, I'll be at Berkeley, right? I'm doing a Berkeley competition as a judge, and I'm at one of the VCs, and there's companies from all over the world. They're biotech companies from everywhere, right? They come there. And it's just interesting. You know, it's every time you think you have the answer, you know that you don't. And you're right about winning the race, but it's not just about one driver. It's about a whole team and having sponsors to support you, right? You can't win the race unless you got somebody like Ecclestone behind you, right, to support you. But it just doesn't work like that. You need cheerleaders. Yeah. And I hear that too. And it's very, very interesting, right? And the more you know, the more you don't know. Anyhow, it's interesting for me. And I wanted to, one of the things I want to talk about is computer procurement might feel like a big company problem. You know, why should startups and scaling companies think strategically about procurement early on, Martin?
So, I mean, it's all about, I mean, nowadays it's about transparency and data and, of course, risk and resilience. So, I mean, looking into what startups today can do and what they could do in the past, today there's more accessibility of data and there are better ways to structure the data. And when you have that, at least in my mind, then you have some kind of gold that you can harvest on. But the gold doesn't come out because you need to understand how to present the data, how to use it. Why is it important for X, Y, Z of the users? But once you figure that out, then you can build an extremely good user experience. And on top of that, also a very, very progressive and fast growing company where the customers are basically blown away because what they are used to is Stone Age in my mind. I mean, they are sitting with old systems. They are sitting with old spreadsheets, and they don't really know what to do with it. So they are relying on the ways they always been doing it, like change always is. But once you have shown them how they could do it, then a new world opens. The only problem is, humanity itself, because you need change. Because if you have been doing something for 20 years in one way, then it's hard to change that. And that's what we experience every day. So they can say that this is the best thing I ever, ever had in my hands. I still don't know how to really use it. And being like a SaaS company or an AI SaaS company, we don't have consultants running around at big enterprise companies. No, we do that in a digital way. So we need to find new ways to get it humanized and get it out there. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's a very, very good area to start to, at least.
You know, Sam Altman said recently that, we have a bet in Silicon Valley. Who's going to create the first $1 billion company with one employee, literally one person? And I see it coming. You know, I've been working in the AI for 29 years in the Valley. In fact, one of the first generative AI companies when I started. It's called Findo in 2016, 3 years before OpenAI, pre-transformer models. And when we built that company, we looked at it and we said, the challenge is data, right? Doesn't matter if you're insurance. You can't balance risk if you don't have enough data to balance, right? Exactly. You can't go down through and make the right kind of decisions if you can't do some predictive analysis and understand, hey, listen, there's climate change and the risk goes way up based on these areas. And sometimes you would never know it. So, when you go down through and companies are really doing intelligent procurement, it can give the startups a competitive advantage when they're scaling globally. But how does it do it? What can it do for them?
So First of all, I mean, it's about how, again, how you use it. You need to at least have a purpose for using, data and how to craft the data. But once you have figured out the leverage of the data, you will always have an advantage in comparison to your peers, right? So let's take an example. So time to market to find a new supplier. That could be one case. Normally it takes 2 to 3 weeks just to find them, and then you need to vet them another 2 to 3 weeks. And always, it's always like an assistant doing the vetting part. What if you have an R&D department and they are saying, okay, we have this quote from one of our customers. We need this type of part or material or whatever it is. And they could quote that in the next day. What would happen to that company? Yeah, they can do a lot more, of course, if they have the capacity. So it's just about understanding what are the basis point for the data, and then use that as a leverage until it becomes a commodity. Because when everybody has the same things in their hands, then it's a different part. But then the data will be even better, even more structured. And I think that we are going through a totally revolution around how data will be structured with AI. The accessibility is massive. I mean, there are a lot of data out there that you can use.
You know, I had a meeting last week with an extremely large insurance company. Mm-hmm. And dealing with their top executives. And I was talking to them about artificial intelligence, and they didn't know what the possibilities are, right?
Really?
Absolutely. They didn't know.
This has to be a joke, right?
I wish. But, and I see it a lot because I'm doing speaking engagements all over the world all the time. And there's different levels, right? We're using multi-agent, multimodal, large language models, and we're having them do their own prompting. So we're a year and a half above the competition. And that's in terms of my own research group in GSD. So we have some things out there, but when you get 14 of them working as a team to be able to solve very complex problems, when you got one of them that's 1,000 times faster in math than ChatGPT, and they started, and I've been working doing that for 3 years, by the way. So that's 3 years cool. We work on multi-agent models. And you start doing that even ups the game a lot further, because what it does is they start reducing the amount of hallucinations, right? Mm-hmm. They start coming back, because the last thing you want to do in an insurance company is have some hallucination come out that is nonsensical to get somebody in trouble, right? Yeah. So that, and how do you address that, by the way? There are times, Martin, with some of these language models, they hallucinate. Yeah. And even if you do have guardrails up, it may be something that's not good for the company, right? Or dangerous. How do you watch for that? And what do you do?
So we don't hallucinate. So then we just tell the user that we can't find the data points, or it's not accurate, or it could be that we're uncertain. And then we use a very, very transparent model. So we develop our own models. Within procurement then, of course. And that comes also with the agent. And everything that's around that, I mean, that's not the core business. We use LLMs, of course, because that's more effective. I mean, there are big players and they ask, I mean, it's a big race between them right now. So every week a new model is released, right? So we don't focus a lot on that. But to be transparent with the user, what we can find and what we can't find, is a very effective way, because then you build trust. But we are now building what we call autonomous sourcing. And to be real fair around that, it's like, yeah, you don't even need to have a person sourcing now. We can find them, we can vet them, and we can send out an RFI, an RFQ, if you want to, request for information, request for a quote, without one single touch from a human being. But do you think that they will use it? No, they won't, because you need to rely on technology before you let it loose. So I think that's our biggest mission.
That goes back to something you said sometime, that you love the scary. That's scary, right?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes scary is a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
So, but you're going down through this anonymous sourcing. How do people get to the level that they have to trust the systems to be able to do those things for them and that it's making the right decisions and not biased in the wrong way? How do you develop that trust and credibility? Not saying they can't do it, but just so that they'll use the decisions that are made.
Yeah, so that's a good and a brilliant question. So we use like let's say that's a depot. So you start with A, and then the technology asks you, do you want to proceed with this or no? And I can do it for you. And then in the next phase, the same thing appears. And eventually, what we can see from our use cases is that if you get certain that the technology now is that good, you let it loose. But to be fair, no one uses it 100%. They still want to check it. They should still want to have the gates so they can check everything that it has done. But I think that in a year or two, there will be more and more companies using this kind of technology and not using the people for rather tendering to tindering, basically. So they are basically investing in relationships instead by not doing the admin work that they are doing today. But I think the main thing here is to have gates so that the user can get used to what they want to do. And then they will let technology once they know that they can rely on it. And I mean, in our world, it's in one forum, so they can always have, I mean, all stages.
You know, a friend of mine, one of my contacts, told me, always go to areas you fear the most, you're going to learn the most. He was a founder of one of the founders of Sun Microsystems, which was a big company during the 90s and 2000s. And I never forgot that. And you say you love the scary, but how does that mindset influence how you lead teams through innovation and transformation, right? And at what point is scary too much?
I haven't been there in terms of technology yet, but of course there will be a time for that. But I think that the most important part is to let people try. And I mean, then you will see a lot of scary things. And you will fail 70% of the time, basically. You need to let them fail. But of course, when it comes to the revenue, that's the most scary part, of course. Or bad customers coming in had complaints or something like that because you have built something that they don't want to use. For me, that's more scary. So you need to understand, okay, what does the customer need? And to try to push the agenda, but rather than just building what they want to, because I don't think that everyone has the vision to see what would be next. And that's the scary part, because no one wants to, I mean, most of the people are more or less afraid of something with AI is going to replace my job or whatever you would say. And I think that, I mean, the ones who are not using AI, yeah, those companies who doesn't use AI will not be there tomorrow.
Well, that's right. They don't know that yet.
No.
And the problem is, listen, there's a lot of bullshit out there about AI. I hear it all the time because I'm traveling around the world meeting with the folks and talking to them. There's a lot of APIs, people that don't really know. I remember in 2016, we were interviewed for TechCrunch and I was talking about AI. So David Yang, my partner, and I, and we were talking about it then. And people didn't get it, right? Yep. And I had told them since for 29 years I've been working in expert systems a long, long time ago. And I'm a psychologist too, so I took it from that perspective. And I said, this is not if it's going to come. You understand it's coming. It's coming. Yep. And if you don't embrace it, nothing good's going to happen. And if we build empathy and compassion in these models, these multi-agent models, this was a few years ago, it's going to change things. It'll be like your grandmother loves you and cares about you. If we build them that way, if we build pragmatic systems, nothing good's going to happen. Right. No. So you start looking at, you know, how we treat each other and you build it like us. Maybe that's not a good thing. Figure about how we can make it optimal, right? To be able to help us. And so, you know, if you're going down through this journey, Martin, so what's next for you? You know, and then closing thoughts. We're coming up to the top of the show. So what's next for you and the company, and what are your closing thoughts?
So next for us, I mean, we are working on that agenda. And again, that is the autonomous sourcing part. So we will invest heavily in that type of technology. And I think it would cover at least a year from now. And then, of course, we have, together with our customers, developed a lot of topics that we could address. The question is just, okay, what's the most burning, I mean, in terms of burning platform, what do they need the most? But I think that if we make it really, really good, and we set that agenda for autonomous sourcing, I think that would be a big, big revolution for the whole supply discovery and for procurement teams worldwide. No one has seen it. It's like Jesus. Everybody heard of it, but no one has seen it. But we will make it happen.
No, that's so great. And then closing thoughts, and how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, I think that what we are doing within the supply chain area is it's extremely useful for all companies out there. I mean, if you're struggling every day by how do I vet companies, how do I find suppliers, and how do I benchmark my own, then I would really consider to get in contact with Find My Factory, of course. And of course, in another perspective, I mean, embrace speed and what startups can give you. Try to trust them, because there are a lot of people doing very good things out there. You just need to embrace the technology and be a part of a new generation.
That's great. And how do people get a hold of you? What's the best way? Email, LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn is the best way. And if you want to talk to me directly, just give me a call. If I don't answer, I'm in a meeting. So then just I'll call you back.
All right. Sounds great. Well, Martin, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. And thanks to all my audience for joining one more time. GSD presents Top Global Startups. My name is Gary Fowler, and I'm your host. Stay happy, stay safe, and stay healthy. And we'll be back to you again soon with another exciting edition. Thanks, everybody. Take care, and I'll talk to you in a little bit, Martin. Thank you.
Thank you.